S&OP process. The ISCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines sales and operations planning, S&OP, as follows: a process to develop tactical plans that provide management the ability to strategically direct its businesses to achieve competitive advantages on a continuous basis by integrating customer-focused marketing plans for new and existing products with the management of the supply chain. The process brings together all the plans for the business, sales, marketing, development, manufacturing, sourcing, and financial, into one integrated set of plans. S&OP is performed at least once a month and is reviewed by management at an aggregate, product family, level. The process must reconcile all supply, demand, and new product plans at both the detail and aggregate levels and connect to the business plan. It is the definitive statement of the company's plans for the near to intermediate term, covering a horizon sufficient to plan for resources and to support the annual business planning process. Executed properly, the S&OP process links the strategic plans for the business with its execution and reviews performance measurements for continuous improvement. C. Aggregate planning, executive sales and operations planning, executive S&OP, production planning, sales plan, tactical planning. S&OP stands both for the sales and operations plan and sales and operations planning. It is both a plan and the process that creates, implements, monitors, and continuously improves the plan. The S&OP process involves a series of meetings to arrive at consensus demand and production plans that reflect the results of demand-side sensing and influencing activities and supply and finance-side capabilities and constraints. Wallace and Stahl, authors of Sales and Operations Planning. The How to Handbook lists the following meetings in S&OP: data gathering, demand planning, supply planning, pre-meeting, executive meeting. Crum and Palmadier, in Demand Management Best Practices, discuss two additional meetings. The first is a product review after the data gathering step, and the second is a financial review after the supply planning step. These meetings map to an overall S&OP process. The steps in this process are: reviewing performance, evaluating demand levels, evaluating supply capability, reconciling demand, supply, and financial plans. The sequence of processes and activities is shown in Exhibit 1-48. Exhibit 1-48, S&OP process and meetings. S&OP culminates in a monthly executive meeting to gain agreement on a plan to balance supply with demand, but it requires 2 weeks or more of team member preparations and preliminary meetings. S&OP can be run on a different timetable, but monthly data collection, analysis, and meetings are typical. The results of the prior month's meetings are used as the basis for the current month's meetings. Replanning is used in each review meeting as well as in the overall process. The purpose of these meetings is to give each area of the organization sufficient time to prepare tactical plans and study the plans submitted to them so they can assess what impact the plans would have on their area of concern. In this way, the S&OP process ensures that detailed reviews are occurring, that decision makers from each part of the organization get a reliable understanding of the organization's current needs and capabilities, and that checks and balances are in place to give executives understanding of and control over the direction of the organization. Reviewing performance. The product review meeting involves updating the status of new product developments, product changes, or other organizational process change initiatives that could affect supply or demand. This meeting involves product and brand management, but other managers involved in process change initiatives could also attend as needed, such as involving an IT professional if the organization is implementing a new enterprise resources planning, ERP, system. Since a product or product feature's time to market strongly impacts demand management activities, this meeting provides demand-side professionals with vital information on which to base their assumptions. The quality of this review rests on the quality of the data gathering that is done. Shortly after the end of the month, all the files necessary to develop the new statistical forecast should be updated. This needs to be done quickly to keep the process moving ahead on time. Timing the S&OP process to begin after the best data are available each month is a best practice. Evaluating demand levels. The demand planning phase includes a demand review meeting, or demand consensus review meeting, which is a meeting held between product and brand management, marketing, and sales professionals to agree to a single set of demand numbers and to document the assumptions used to make the decisions. The highest ranking demand side professional, such as the vice president of sales or marketing, not the demand manager, typically chairs this small, brief meeting between representatives of each department. The demand manager serves more as a facilitator in this meeting, such as by combining the individual plans of product and brand management, marketing, and sales into a single document prior to the meeting with recommended consensus numbers and areas with differences of opinion listed in the notes. The meeting is not intended to be a lengthy detailed review. This should have occurred prior to the meeting, but a way for the responsible and accountable leaders of each demand side area to review the big picture and commit to a consensus view of demand that can be passed down to their subordinates and to the financial and supply sides of the organization. To keep the meeting brief, review is at the product family level. Subfamilies are reviewed only on an exception basis. Other methods to promote brevity include reviewing only what has changed since the last meeting, focusing on validating assumptions, and reviewing only significant performance metric results. The rest of the meeting should be spent on what strategies can be employed to close any gaps between the demand plan and business plan revenue goals. The demand manager can facilitate these meetings by preparing demand plan dashboards that consolidate the various departments' plans, highlighting where significant disagreements exist. Exhibit 1-49 shows an example of such a dashboard for an 18-month demand plan in units. Note that the dashboard also lists examples of key performance metrics, assumptions, events, opportunities, risks, and decisions. Note also that a separate dashboard in monetary units would be provided to show the results of the unit plan in terms of its impact on organizational revenue. Exhibit 1-49, example of a demand plan dashboard, units. A key aspect of this and other review meetings is replanning. Since the plan is reviewed each month, replanning promotes consensus building. For example, referring to Exhibit 1-49, if there is significant disagreement over the amount or timing of the demand increase from the period 6 TV ad buy, the demand side leaders can agree to a number, but also agree to revisit it the next month when new information may be available to help clarify the issue. Participants could be assigned research tasks or be asked to communicate with others during the month so that they have better information for the next meeting. The success of the demand plan depends on the quality of the communication process. Finally, the demand review meeting is a place to review performance metrics in relation to demand and forecast accuracy. Organizations might set rules for exception review of performance metrics. For example, if the demand plan differs from actual demand for a particular product family for 3 months running, a detailed strategy review should occur to determine what can be done to improve results. Individual metrics could also be color-coded in the dashboard to show exceptions. Achieving consensus on what to produce can be contentious, even between just the demand-side professionals. Setting the tone that disagreement between plan numbers should be an expected occurrence can keep participants from becoming frustrated with the process. Failure to acknowledge these differences or allowing each department to plan and act using its own set of numbers will generate far more conflict down the line, because the supply organization will not know which set of numbers to use. This situation is far from rare, especially in an extended supply chain. According to Oliver White colleague Ron Ireland, most supply chains operate with between 14 and 25 individual demand forecasts. Those that do use a single set of demand numbers typically have adopted the S and OP process. This step in the S and OP process results in product and brand management, marketing, and sales representatives issuing an updated medium-term demand plan for current and new products. The demand plan should be reviewed by a senior sales and marketing executive before being entered in the S and OP files. Sometimes this process is called a marketing/sales handshake because it requires coming to an agreement on a request for product and coordinated demand influencing activities. The consensus plan arrived at by the demand side managers is used as the basis in both the supply planning phase and the financial reviews, evaluating supply capability. The supply planning phase includes a supply review meeting, which uses the consensus demand plan to generate a production plan. The role of the supply management team is to identify any constraints that would prevent operations from being able to satisfy the demand plan. This process is sometimes called the operations handshake because it requires operations professionals to agree on production plan recommendations that could best fulfill the demand plan while keeping operations profitable. The supply review meeting is used to finalize supply plan recommendations. During this meeting, the feasibility of meeting the demand plan is discussed related to capacity and profitability constraints. If the demand plan can be met, the production plan will match the demand plan. The supply management team may need to alter the production plan and revise the S and OP data to meet the demand plan as closely as possible. If supply cannot match demand in total units or in product 1009, then the meeting involves generating one or more alternative plans that propose solutions to the supply and demand mismatch, such as the following. Produce above demand for certain periods to meet later spikes in demand. Increase capacity by hiring, adding shifts, planning overtime, leasing new equipment, or outsourcing, or proposing the opposite to reduce capacity. Reduce the demand plan as a last resort. Supply-side professionals should highlight any significant risks or costs involved with each alternative that is proposed.